paved the way for the likes of us, for which I'm truly grateful, and just faithfully serve Jesus wherever he has placed them. And of course, being a woman in ministry and emerging in the church through times where doors have not always been open, Pip has just continued to serve and love and give and pour out, and of course, like I said, pave the way for the likes of me and other women. So I'm truly grateful. And Pip has been up speaking at a young women's conference which has been held in Auckland, and so we are just blessed to have her with us. Thank you, Pip.
Thank you.
Good morning. Sorry, just getting myself together here. Just reminding myself. Well, it's an incredible honour to be with you, Cornerstone Church in Wauku, this morning. And I want to thank Amanda and Lloyd. For the invitation to be at your church this morning. And I bring warm greetings from our church at City West in New Plymouth this morning. And my husband Steve says hi to you. And he does not like me going away. But he has to learn to cope with it, and it's good for him. And when he's great actually. I just love him immensely. And I know this morning that I love your pastors. I've never been to your church before, but God has knit us together with the heart of your pastors through lots of, it just so happened that they were at where we were at, and we just ended up talking and just built relationships. I love the way God does things like that. He knits hearts with people. And I have a heart for these guys, for Lloyd and for Amanda. And I just want to say to you as a couple that I want to thank you for your huge heart for the church. And not just for your church, but God is actually enlarging your heart for the nation as you've taken on wider responsibilities. And that's not an accident. God has seen hearts that he can trust with things. And I love that about you. And I so appreciate Amanda as part now of, I oversee the women's ministry for our movement. And Amanda has accepted my asking of her to consider whether she would take the responsibility for the Auckland Women's Region. And she is just the right girl for the right time, and I am so blessed by her. And we've had this ball of a time at this young women's conference. You know, I keep thinking to myself, dear Jesus, what do I say to this age group of young women today? You know, and Amanda and I, to be fair, probably were in the minority with the white face kind of, you know, beautiful Pacifica young woman, amazing. I looked at what was in the room in that place and I thought, God, our nation is in good hands as these young women are rising to be what God's called them to be. So I've got a message this morning that I hope it's an encouragement. I want it to be an encouragement for you. I want it to be something that's, It's not necessarily something that you have to change to be, but it's an encouragement that God sees something of your heart and just want to continue helping you build that thing, I guess. And so I've entitled the message, and it was so interesting, the prophetic picture that we had this morning about, you know, the belonging. I've entitled it, I Love the House. I Love the House. And I'm talking, I guess, as somebody who has, I've been a Christian 40 years now. We've been in ministry for 14 plus 11, whatever that is. You know, that amount of time. And before that, we were helping within a church. So we've been in this zone for some time. And I'm so grateful for it. I think it's a miracle. I think God's church is an absolute miracle. Look at the person beside you. Would in any other way would you be sitting beside them in life if it wasn't for the church? Well, possibly, yeah, because it's your son, but that's all right. You know? Psalm 26, verse 8 says, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. And this psalm was written by David, and he was a man described as a man after God's heart. So if he was a man after God's heart, and if he loved the house, then he's obviously loving something that's after God's heart, I'm thinking. Just, you know. And in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote this, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth." God's house, the pillar and foundation of the truth. It's an interesting thought. What do pillars do? They hold up things. You know, what are foundations? They're things that we build on. I think God has a picture for the church as being something incredibly strong, something that holds up life. And I believe that God wants us to love his house, to love his purposes. Hebrews 3:6, but says Christ, Jesus is God's own son, as faithful as the son over God's house. We are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. God so loved his house that he set his son in charge of it. You know, if you put your son in charge of something, it's something that you really hold close to you, don't you? You entrust things. God set his son, he's faithful, in charge of his father's house. I love God's house. His people, his church. It's an ongoing miracle to me. And, you know, this is just so, you know, common sense now that we know this in the Christian world, that love is a verb. It's not the emotion. It's not the feeling of things. It's not what I feel like doing. It's an action. It's the verb. It's the, I put it into practice. It's not what I feel like doing, it's what I do. And Frank DiMaggio said this really interesting challenge when he asked these questions. Will you choose to love God's house with passion and zeal, to cross over from attending church to have a love affair with the church? He said, when will God's house become your house, your place, the object of your devotion? I guess what he's saying is that when will you engage your will to actively, or how can you engage your will to actively love the house? You see, when we love God, we love what he loves. And the good news and the bad news is that means you've got to love these people here. For some of you, that's easy. For others, you think, really? Yes, really. So I'm going to look today at five family values. Just a little bit about myself and our family. I have my husband, Steve, is 6'2". So, you know, like I said last night, I have to stand on a couple of stairs and I'm eye to eye with him. And we have four grown children. And Amanda just reminded me, she's the same age as my oldest son. So that really made me feel old. But anyway. And all our four children, my oldest is Amanda's age and my youngest is 29. And they've all married. They have got wonderful, I'm so blessed with the spouses, two sons and two daughters that they have embraced and married. And we have four grandchildren under the age of four, and another one on the way. We're in that multiplying abundant season of babies turning up. And my last baby is arrived, little Isabella arrived 8-9 weeks ago, and I'm busy. I promised my daughter I would knit, for each of the kids I've knitted this kind of blanket thing, and I'm still busy knitting on this one, and we just found out 2 weeks ago that another one's on the way. I said, no pressure, I'm just, let me get this blanket finished first, okay guys? But I'm blessed, they're beautiful children, we've seen God's grace and favour. One of our little grandsons, Joshua, arrived 3 months early in December last year. He was not due to be born till March, and he was 27 weeks born, so this wincy, tincy little fella in this incubator. But you see, I said to Joshua, prophesied over him, I said, if you were going to choose a family to come this early in, you chose the best one. You chose the best one, little man, because we prophesy over you that you will be a strong man, a courageous young man. You will be a valiant man of God. You are going to grow up and you are going to be whole and healthy and strong. And he is. Hallelujah. There is no signs of any effects on the fact that he arrived so tiny and so early. So, and it's because of prayer, and I'm so grateful for, you know, people that when you say, would you please pray with us for our family, our church engaged with us and spoke with us and prayed with us, and God is faithful. That's, I love his house, you see. So, I know the reality of parenting. It's probably, that's the background of what I'm saying. You know, you raise four children. It's not tidy. Who knows? You know, you've got kids. It's just not tidy sometimes. And the truth is, we raised four strong-minded children. I don't know why. And we would have, you know, you try to be holy and nice coming to church. You try to look as though, you know, yes, I'm ready in the presence of God. And we've had moments in the vehicle on the way. Even getting into the vehicle at times was a moment because, I don't know, this is the days before everybody had to have a car seat and that was, you know, but we had children who decided the best place always to be was by the door. And so every time getting in the door, who's going to sit by the door? And we had, you know, like, everybody was so polite. No, you first. No, you first. But the goal was, I want to sit by the door, you see. So so trying to get them in the vehicle sometimes was a challenge. And it's not tidy. You have to make ways of just actually, you know, organizing to say, okay. And this is the miracle of church life too. Church life's not tidy. Does that mean to say it's not a healthy church? It's a very healthy church if it's not tidy. It's family life. It's belonging to family. And so I want to talk about five family values, I guess, that, you know, I've come to have convictions about, both for our personal family and for our church family. So the first one is I will honor the heart that God has for his house by making his priority my priority. And we've grown up with our children and in ministry, but we've also grown up valuing our family. And as our children have grown older, there have been times and seasons where three out of the four have been out of the country and chose to live overseas. And, you know, I'm fine with that. Which is great, you know. I don't have a problem with that. I don't want to be the mother that says, no. You all got to look close to me. I want to release them to whatever God's got. That's not my heart to hold them close. But we said to them, one family value, guys. If you choose to live overseas, that's fine by us. But every important family event, we will expect you home. And that's not meaning to say that we leave the complete responsibility on you. We're going to believe God together that somehow all of us get home for that major family event, whether it's weddings, you know, like at weddings. And so when our first son got married in London, we took nine of us from New Zealand. I took my mum and dad in their late 70s and Steve's mum in the same place. And our immediate kids and a nephew, convoy, to London, because a family value was we would be there for major family events. And we've had family weddings back here, so our London ones have had to come back. And, you know, by the grace of God. You see, it's a family value, I guess. I'm not talking about small things, but if you hold a family value, we will do that. We will make his priority our priority. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." One thing means the priority of focus. First in time, first in rank and value. We could have spent our money on a lot of things, you know, but actually to be able to bring family together for major events was our priority, and that's what we put our value in. For over 30 years, I have put the value of attending church as number one in my heart. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Rick Warren says, "To say I don't need a church is nonsense. You can't love Christ and not his body, the king and not his kingdom, the father and not his family." And so I was working out, I've been Christian for 40 years from the start of this year, and I was working out how many Sundays that was. That's about 2,080 Sundays. And so I would say conservatively, I've attended church at least 2,000 times. Mostly more, actually. I'm being conservative, because for most of those Sundays, I've gone to church twice, and sometimes three times. Psalm 52 verse 8 says, "I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever." See, I want to say to you, I have had some of my most life-defining experiences with God in a church service. I've experienced my most powerful God encounters in a church service. I was talking to Amanda last night about Steve and I went to Pensacola, and on my 40th birthday in their church, so powerfully touched by God that I couldn't move, I couldn't walk, I couldn't speak for hours. In fact, we were supposed to be having my birthday dinner at a restaurant after the meeting. Steve carried me to the car, sat me in the car. We got to the restaurant. I still couldn't move. I still couldn't talk. Under the power of God, in the presence of God. So they went and had my birthday dinner. Came out every so often, checked that I was still in the car, checked that I was still all right. Enjoyed my birthday dinner, took me home, put me to bed. You know, I just so thank God for his house, for his place, his church. I have been chastised by God in his house. I have experienced freedom as I've been prayed for in his house. I've received healing as I have come into church. I've received prophetic words that have just been the very thing to help me keep walking with Jesus in church. I've been blessed with provision when I've attended church. We had this really wonderful kind of God holiday as a family, and you know, we have four children, like I say, you know, and holidays are an expensive event with four children. Finding accommodation to be able to stay in with four children is a challenge, and when you're in the ministry, and you know, that was a season where it was a really rugged time for us. Anyway, we ended up having this place in Algiers Bay that we got blessed with a wonderful accommodation that was brilliant for our family. And as is our habit on Sunday morning, even though we were on holiday, we went to church. Well, we tried to go to church. We went to go get in our car, and the car wouldn't start. And it was because it was parked on long grass and the dew and the whatever, you know. So we could have made the choice that morning to say, "Oh, well, obviously we're on holiday. It doesn't really matter. Let's not go." No. Church, God's place, God's heart, his value. So we said, "Okay, we'll walk." So, you know, there's Steve, 6 foot 2, dun, 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 dun. This little trail of people walking down the path from Algiers Bay to Snell's Beach, which actually took a little longer than we expected, but that's all right. We arrive at this little church. We increase the population of the congregation by, you know, like 800%. No, not quite, but it was just like, they were thrilled that we were there that morning. And do you know, there was a person in that congregation that morning who loved children, invited us for tea. They were like, they had such a heart for children, and that whole night was all about them. They had provided for them children's style food, the things that parents would never just choose, but, you know. And I just thought, God, what if we had not gone to church that morning? What if we'd just decided, nah, it's too hard. Nah, it doesn't really matter. Let's just not go. And you know what? We were on holiday. They had a church service at night. So we thought, as we do, we're going again. And we went again that night, and they were even more excited because really we'd brought our children, and that was unusual because we do that, you see. And we had gone to have a look at the cream trip that takes, you know, the boat trip, and you know, we thought it would have been really great to have taken our children on it, but then we went and saw what the cost was, and we thought, possibly not what we can do this time. But that's okay. It looked beautiful. In their church that night, one of the men came up to Steve and said, oh, have you been on the cream trip? And we said, well, no. We went and had a look and decided that possibly not this holiday. He said, well, can you get up at 6:30 in the morning? We're on holiday, you know. We said, well, yes. He said, well, I'm the pilot of the boat. If you all come down here at 6:30, I'll take you as a family. See, you know, imagine if we'd thought, nah, it's holidays, nah, you know, we don't need to go twice on. You don't need to anyway, but it's our heart. It's not even our church, but it's our heart to be what? To have God's heart. So we've made lifelong friends in the church. When my physical family was a long way away, the church was my family. You see, we can't say we love God's house and not make it our important priority. It's just one thing, I think, that God says, love his house. Coming into a school hall, it just reminds me of our days back in Hawera. And we had another classroom so that on the Sunday night services we would bring our children in with their sleeping bags, and there would be one person responsible for looking after that room, and all the children were lined up in sleeping bags and they would be sent, you know, we were supposed to go to sleep, and that never happened. But anyway, it's just, how do I passionately love God's house? I'll speak well of the house. Second family value. If God's heart is for his house, therefore I'll speak well of it. I understand the power of what words can do. God created by the power of his words. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we need to understand that what we say and how we speak about his house is important. You know, as I've said, church isn't a perfect institution. It's an organism of life that's growing and it's developing, and it's going to become the perfect bride of Christ. That's not my phone, is it? Sorry. Could be. It stumbles and it hiccups along the way, but it's God's bride. You see, his church is his bride in preparation. Like I said, we've had four children, so we've had four marriages now. And each of my brides and each of my daughters-in-law absolutely look stunning. They just look beautiful. And I'm biased, I know, but they did. But the process of getting them looking beautiful was interesting sometimes. You know, we went to the hairdressers and we have photos of them looking really interesting to get their hair into the buffed up whatever, you know, it's supposed to be place. Now imagine if somebody came in and said, man, you just look a mess. You know, really, who'd be wanting to marry you? Imagine if that was the response that we had in their preparation time. Even worse still, imagine as they were coming down the aisle, somebody decided to throw mud at them. Somebody decided to sling something disgusting in their way. We would be incensed. You would have some cross mama coming up to you, I can tell you, and say, get your hands off that. Don't you dare mark this amazing young woman. See, I think that's the same heart that God has for his church. Because when we throw words, mucky words, just discouraging, pulling down words, we are throwing at his beautiful bride, his bride in preparation, things that are not helpful. Things that are not going to build what God wants to do. You see, we're to bring his hope into the world. If we don't value the family God's placed us in, what hope is there for the world? What hope is there? See, I'm accountable for my part in representing him well. I'll pray for the house, third family value. I would love to have been the parent that had family devotions beautifully every day. It probably didn't happen quite in that scenario. But I did endeavour, before our children left the house every morning, that we would gather and pray. And, you know, I would try to have some scriptural input as a mother into their life that morning. And you know what? We even had other of their friends would turn up early because they wanted to walk to school with them. And I'd say, well, you know, sorry guys, but you'll just have to wait a bit longer because as a family, this is what we do. So they got linked into the circle of, it's going to pray. And our kids sometimes were, you know, rolling their eyes and thinking, do you have to? My friends here? Yes, I do, because this is what we do. This is a family value. And I would pray for them and their day as well too. Because I believe one of the family values is that we should pray for his family. Pray for the house. The New Testament church began with a prayer meeting. When the day of Pentecost came in Acts 2:1, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, and the New Testament church was born. What were the primary characteristics in Acts 2:42? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to... When we pray, we release God's best. It's our foundational truth because, you know, it's just we start agreeing with him about things. What do we pray for? You're saying, well, what do I pray for? I want you to pray for the leadership team. I want you to pray for your pastors, the elders, their families. I want you to pray for those who carry responsibilities in every department, that they not grow weary in well-doing. I want you to pray for the small groups to grow and to flourish. I want you to pray for souls to be saved. I want you to pray for the Sunday services, that they'd be powerful and dynamic, and the Word of God equips you to become all you are to be, for increase, for multiplication, and for blessing. How do I show I passionately love God's house? Fourth point, I can serve the house with a commitment to make it the best it can be. I understand that we live in a different world, but a concerning aspect to me in our New Zealand church-going culture today is that a person can come to church once every 3 weeks and they regard themselves as a committed member to the church. Now, hear me out here in a good way. You know, I'm not... You see, the truth is we do have access to world-class preachers on the internet. I'm not a world-class preacher. You know, you've come and heard me today. Gosh. But you could have listened to somebody else and thought, I've done my bit by listening to the word today. We have access to world-class musicians and lovers of God that we can just, you know, dial in and here we are. We can download any podcast from any amazing preacher of the Word of God that is globally, you know, significant. And we can even choose whether we want to listen to that message or not. Now, which of these messages do I think I want to hear today? you know, it's there. This is the world we live in. I understand that. But do you know what I know? I know that sometimes you need to hear messages you didn't realize you needed to hear. I know sometimes that the truth of living out God's word alongside flesh and blood is actually a lot harder than listening to the potential of it in the word. You know, we can agree with the word listening, but actually the reality of it is that I live it out alongside Amanda. She sees me in the raw and in the natural and in the first morning, and whether I've got my words together or whether I haven't, or, you know, it's like, this is the real place where being a Christian is. You know, your family know you at 6:30 in the morning. And you probably, I am not morning person, my husband is morning person. He wakes up and says, well, what are you going to do today, darling? You know, he's ready to rock, he's already thought about it, and he still does it. I don't understand. I said, sweetheart, just give me a moment. I will respond soon, not just the, is it morning already? But that's family life. That's family life. You know, the worst thing in the world for my day when the kids were at home was that they would wake me up. I have to be awake before the children. So I would have to set the alarm to make sure I was awake before them, because, you know, dynamics go on. You get asked questions in the midst of morning fog. And you could say yes to something that you really regretted later because you just weren't thinking, you know. But... But in saying that, you see, how can we serve to make it the best it can be if our response to it is, I'll turn up every so often? You know, if you were building a house, if you had paid a builder to build your property, if they turned up once every 3 weeks, how happy would you be about that? And this is not to condemn you. I'm not saying this. Because I understand life, and I understand there are work on Sundays, and I understand, you know, I'm just talking about a value system here that somehow has snuck in, because we can choose all sorts of things. And I want to say, if we value God's house, if we value one another, we will invest in the one another. And I want to be a vessel through which God wants to use. And I believe God wants you to be a vessel through which he wants to move. On the other hand, do you know what? It's an amazing miracle to me that week after week, after week after week, sometimes year after year, we have amazing people who actually serve. We can't pay them. We can never repay them in any form that, you know, they deserve, because they come and they do it because of their love for God. And it blows me away. I look and, you know, we've got a really big venue at our place, and when you have your own venue, it requires cleaning. We have a huge lawn, like massive lawn, and it takes 2 hours on a ride-on motor mower to mow the lawns in our property, and we have volunteer people who come and do that. It takes 2 hours to vacuum our auditorium. We have a volunteer team that come and do that. We have 15 toilets in the property, and you would want to come and use a clean toilet, wouldn't you? And because of the love for the God's house, they come. And they're rostered on, and they clean our toilets. You see, people come and they serve our small groups, and they invite them into their homes, and they make room for those things. Our musicians who come, you know, that week after week, and they rehearse and they practice so that you can be blessed. They spend hours, and you rock on up. You know, I'm just blown away when people lay down their lives, their time, to make God's house work, to make God's house increase. And I know that our churches will never become any more effective than the degree to which the family will lay down their lives. And that was one of our family values as in our, you know, we're here. When we had visitors come to our home, it was like you would have the look to the children when they were looking at the food. Don't you dare go for seconds. Don't you dare go first. They knew the look. Family, hold back. Why? It's a family value. We're here to serve. And it's part of what we do. Part of the value that we've trained. So finally, my last thing is I will resource the house. As a family, and as, you know, we have always desired to want to be as generous as we could be. And that generosity came not because we had lots to be generous with, but what we had, we would be generous with. What resource we had, we would try to somehow make a place to share. And I think even, you know, in our own family values, we've always, there are two economical principles that we live by. One is we tithe. It's just been, ever since we got taught about the principle of putting God first with our finances, and you know, it's been hard work to tithe sometimes. It's been hard work when we could see that the money that we're putting towards God's house could have helped us a little bit. Could have made it easier when I was trying to make a meal for a family. Could have made it easier to provide clothing at times. But God has been faithful, and we have never starved, and we have never regretted putting God first. Exodus 34:26, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. And we've always made that a commitment ever since we first heard. We said, okay God, right from now we will always put you first financially. And so we've seen God provide miracles. We have seen God provide miracles. We've seen seasons where we've had to wait a long time, it felt like, for those miracles to come. But you see, God is always faithful to his word. God's house should be honored with the first and the best, not the leftovers. Since we were first taught, we have never failed to honor God. The second thing we have as an economical principle is that we would give to poor and to missions. We would make God not just about the house here, but there's beyond, there's more than that. The poor have a special place in the heart of God. And if we can't go ourselves to make the poor's life better, then we will resource people who are there to make the poor's life better, whether it's in our own city or whether it's beyond our nation. And I know that part of that, even as a church, you're going to be embracing a journey in time to come where you're looking to get your own facility. And the truth is, the church, you, are going to be the resource that God wants to release his finance through. There will be other miraculous ways, I'm sure. But the truth is, I was telling Amanda a story when we inherited one of our churches that we've pastored. It was in serious overdraft and debt. And from the front row, my husband, and you know, in our household, it's me that actually oversees the finances. And Steve at the pulpit up here, God bless him. In that, without discussion, you know, we usually talk about things together, you know, that are quite important. And and he says, as a family, we were taking up an offering to get rid of this overdraft because we felt it was just an ungodly principle to have as a church. We thought, this is not God honoring to our church. We want to get rid of this overdraft facility. Nail it. And as a family, bless him, we will give $1,000. Dear Jesus. I talked to him afterwards. And said, honey, why did you say that? Even if we didn't pay our power and our mortgage, we still would not have $1,000 to be able to give to this offering that you've said publicly as a pastor, and our integrity is publicly as pastors to honor our word. What were you thinking? The Friday before the Sunday of the offering, and I'm busy in this processing, well, how much can we give, God? I'm looking at the books. I'm looking at what the resource is there, saying, you know, maybe we could get $300, God. Maybe we could put that, and I guess we'll just have to pay off the rest, but whatever. You know, the Friday before, we received a letter from old friends of ours in the town that we had previously lived in. And in the letter was a check for $1,000. And in their letter, they said to us, we realize that you, personal, have just bought a house. And probably there are things that you would like to do in your house to restore it. And it was true. There were things we would like to do in our house to restore it. But we just knew that that $1,000 wasn't for personal house, it was for his house. And we saw it was God's provision and his honoring of his faith. I want to say I value the house and I love his house. And the word that we had this morning about belonging, you know, one of the values that we have at City Western is that people can come to our church before they ever believe, before they know anything about Jesus at all. And they'll belong. They're going to be loved. They're going to be accepted here. They don't have to get their life together. They don't have to smell nice. They don't have to speak the right language. They can even swear. And we'll love them because they belong. Why should they not belong to the house of God? That's what they're born for. They just don't know it yet. And when they come in, you'll belong. And I believe that's the heart of this house too. When you come into this place, you can belong. You might not know anybody here yet, but that doesn't mean to say you don't belong. That's just, you've got to give yourself a moment. Somebody will get to know you, and they're going to love you here. That's what I love about the house of God. You can belong. And in time as they belong, they'll believe, because they're looking at you, and they're saying, what is it about this house? You see, the word of God says they will know they're Christians by their love. And as people come into your house, as people come in from your community, and they're looking at you, and they're looking at your love for this place, and they're looking at your love for each other, and they're seeing when you're sick, your church family come around with a meal, and they're seeing when you are in distress that there are people who are going to undergird and support you. And they're saying, what is it about you guys? Why do you do that? And you might say, well, they've not actually done that for me. I was sick and nobody came. Get over it and start sowing it yourself and you'll see it change. Don't look at what's not happening. This is family life. We're not perfect, all right? We're not mind readers. We don't necessarily know. We're doing our best in our lives. But does that mean to say that we give up? No, it isn't. God's house is amazing. You are amazing, Cornerstone. You are amazing. You're an amazing church in this township. You are the hope of people in this township. You're going to make a difference to their world. You're going to make a difference to their life. I choose to love this house, warts and all. I choose to love this house, imperfections and all. I choose to love this house, conflicts and all. Families have conflicts. Mess happens. Mistakes happen. We make wrong choices. Does that mean to say you're no longer part of the family? Uh-uh. We'll love you. We'll love you. We'll help you through this. You know, God has amazing dreams for this place because I know that because of your pastors. He can trust them with his heart. He can entrust you with his heart. That's why you're here. Good on you for being here. Good choice. Thank you for loving his house. Thank you for being here. Why don't we just close our eyes as I come to a close this morning? Father, I thank you this morning for this house, for every life, for every family, for every person that's a part of this place. And I ask today that they be resourced with every resource from heaven to do what you've called them to do as your representatives in this town of Wauku. I thank you, God, for that which you have already provided for them. I thank you for the journey that they've already walked, but there's more, and there's increase, and there's multiplication, and there's blessing. And so, Father, I pray, God, as people rise and say, I'm going to love this house, I'm going to give my best to this place, I'm going to get alongside, I'm going to pray for it, I'm going to resource it, I'm going to serve in it, I'm going to speak well of it, and I love it. I choose to love it. And I thank you for it today, in the name of Jesus. I guess always my heart is that if there's anyone here this morning that has never actually made the decision to love Jesus Christ, you might be here. I don't know whether you come here every week. Maybe as I've been talking about, you've just come along and you belong, but you've never actually said, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord and Savior. I want to respond to your love this morning. And if that's you, I would just love to be able to pray with you. Maybe everyone could just close their eyes for a moment. I don't know you. I don't know you. And if that's you, would you mind just putting up your hand and saying, actually, that's me. I do want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to honor God. I want to respond to his love for me this morning. And I'm just going to look around quickly and just say, if that's you this morning, and you say, yes, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. Yes, Jesus, I've been hearing about this God who I love, and today's the day. Jesus, thank you. You can open your eyes. That's awesome. Thank you. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here, and I'll hand over now to Amanda.